for the Lord and fight. Keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service, you will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use a soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown and bear the cross, you must
keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Hell to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Well, we're glad to have Brother Ramos with us once again. And we're talking in the office. I think it's the fourth time he's been able to be with us. And we're glad that he's here. He's going to play the trumpet for us for a minute tonight. I told him, don't wear your lips out. You got to preach, too. But I want him to play. He's beautiful. He plays a beautiful trumpet. And then he's going to preach for us tonight. Brother Ramos pastors a tremendous church in San Luis Potosí in Mexico. Several of our folks have had the privilege to go there. We've had the privilege to preach there several times. And it is amazing work. We were there for the missions conference this year. And I saw God take and influence many preachers in Mexico. As Brother Ramos emphasized, the vision of so many years, there was a vision for Mexico, and now he was trying to get these folks to get a vision from Mexico for the world. And saw God do great things in that meeting, and I was just blessed by that, blessed to be in the church and the work there in the college and see all the many churches that have been started out of his church there. And the Lord's blessed him, and his wife Karen got to be with him tonight. And we're glad that she got to come also and spend some time with him here. And so, Brother Ramos, we're just glad that you're here tonight. You come and play and then sing for us tonight, would you please?
No,
just play and then preach. I'm
saying. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. It's always a joy to be here with you. And honestly, we feel at home. And it's I really have gotten to really love Pastor Johnson and as a dear friend. And he's been such a blessing to us every time him and his wife have both gone to be with us there in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. And our people love him. And they were very excited that I was going to come be with you, Pastor Johnson, and this great church. And I want to thank you so much for your prayers, for your friendship, and for your support so faithfully. This church has been very special to us. This summer when Pastor Johnson went to visit and speak for us with his wife, your church sent us a love offering that we were not expecting. And later I'll tell the pastor all that it involved and how that Karen and I were praying for 2 days for a specific amount for God to open doors for our family, and just God just used that offering to confirm something we were praying about. And then God used that in the life of our family and our children. And what a joy. And we were just so grateful to you for the way the Lord has used this church to be a blessing to my family. And words cannot express our gratitude and our love for you. And it's a joy and honor to be here. I'm so excited to be here, be able to preach the Word of God and share a burden. Because, see, the world needs the gospel. And every time I come to America, and I've shared this with you as I've been here several times, and I do thank the Lord for America and what it's done in our country to give the gospel to Mexico. And the gospel in Mexico is being received. This year, to the glory of God, already almost 3,500 people have come to our service for the first time visitors. People are open to the gospel. And it's because for many years, since 1984, first American missionary went to Mexico. They went to two places. They went up to Monterrey, then they went to South Mexico. And up until the 1960s and early 70s, there was just maybe in all the country of Mexico, 200,000 Christians. In all the country of Mexico. Mexico has over 100 million people now. And now, since about the middle of 1970s until now, God has just opened the door. And all the toil and all the tears and all the Word of God that was sent to our country, the thousands and thousands of John and Romans and Bibles and tracts and missionaries from America that went to our country to give their lives to our country, now we're seeing the fruit. We're reaping all of the harvest of the years of toil of the missionaries from missions from America to Mexico. And that's why the Lord used that to call me to Mexico, because I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Lord, first of all, and to the missionaries from America that have given their lives to our country. And if you go to Mexico, if you go to Brother Kevin Wynn's church, you'll see thousands of people. You'll go to South Mexico. You go anywhere you go in Mexico, God is blessing our country. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, let's flip to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 3, I'll not be long. I want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, as I was praying about what to preach about, I had another message that I was thinking about preaching tonight. But as we were driving today from San Francisco, Karen and I flew out this morning early. And we flew into San Francisco. My father met us and let us use his car to drive here. As I was driving and meditating, as my wife tried to take a nap, but she couldn't. Amen. I was meditating, and the Spirit of God laid in my heart this passage for tonight. If you stand on your feet, please, in Revelation chapter 3. I'd like us to read verses 14 through 22. I know it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but let the Lord speak to you tonight. Amen. And Revelation chapter 3 in verse 14, the Bible says that unto the angel, the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Tonight, I want to speak on what I believe to be the greatest enemy to world evangelization. The greatest enemy of soul winning churches. The greatest enemy of the Great Commission, I believe, is to be apathy. I believe it's to be lukewarmness in our churches. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this wonderful church. Lord, it's good to see folks that we've shared times with and fellowship, and what a joy to see them continue faithful, and what a joy to see new faces and new families, and what a joy to see what you've done in this church, and to see my good friend Pastor Johnson and his family. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would meet with us tonight. Lord, I know that you have a plan and a wonderful purpose for this great church, and I pray that you would use me to be a blessing and speak to hearts tonight. And we want to honor you. We want to exalt your name. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here. We thank you. Amen. You may be seated. I do believe that the greatest enemy to the Great Commission, soul winning, world evangelization, is lukewarmness. I want to say this before I continue tonight. I want you to know that I love this country. Last year, I had the privilege of becoming a citizen of the United States of America. Remember, I was in San Francisco, California there, and here, California, man, San Francisco, and over 90 different peoples from other parts of the world received their citizenship. I mean, there was 90 other countries represented in about 2,000 people. And as we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and as we sang, "My country, 'tis of thee," my heart just rejoiced, and I just thank God for this country. But you know, it's really, to me, sad when I hear pastors and missionaries come to our country of Mexico, and as they talk, as they see what God is doing in Mexico, they say this was happening in our country several years before. And I thank God for churches like these, like this church here, who is sowing and trying to be an influence in the world. But so many Christians in America, so many churches have become apathetic, become lukewarm. And tonight, I want to just challenge you, and I want the Word of God to speak to you tonight. Do not let this condition to become a part of your life. The Bible says there in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 14, you know, the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Of course, we know that the messages written to the churches were from the Lord Jesus Himself. And the Bible says in verse 15, "I know thy works." And see, my brother, my sister, we cannot hide from the Lord. We can hide from the pastor. We can put an outward appearance in our churches. But God knows our heart. He knows our spirit. He knows our works. And tonight, I know that He has a purpose in allowing me to be here tonight and to be able to share this message with you. Because see, we need to be careful, all of us, that we don't allow this condition to become a part of our lives. Because lukewarmness will not only destroy evangelism, it also destroy your Christianity. The Bible says there in verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now that phrase is a very strong phrase. This is telling us tonight that that's what it causes God. It causes the Lord for Him to be nauseated when He sees this condition in our lives and in our churches. Now that phrase is not a phrase that phrase is a phrase of rebuke and chastising. The Bible says there in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. And see, we see that this condition, my brother, my sister, it hurts. It hurts our Christianity. It hurts our churches. It hurts our soul winning. It hurts our vision and our burden for the world. And this condition makes the Lord sick. It nauseates the Lord. First of all, I want to get right into the message. Bible says there in verse 4, I want to share with you the symptoms. Bible says there in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. We see, first of all, that comfort becomes a part of our Christianity. We become comfortable. See, many Christians, here's the world and here's Christ, and they look for a place where they can feel comfortable. They look for a place where they're okay with the world, but they're okay with their church. My brother, my Lord wants us to be totally consecrated. He wants us to be in love with Him. He wants us to be zealous for Him. He wants us to be hot for Him. He wants us to be revived. He doesn't want us to be in a place where we feel comfortable. See, that is a problem that I see also coming to Mexico, because see, Mexico now is becoming a little bit more affluent than it used to be. Mexico, now you go to Mexico, you'll see Walmart, you'll see Sam's, you'll see Costco's, you people driving nicer cars and having nice homes. And when we become materialistic and we seek for comfort in our life and the way we live, it seems to affect our love and our consecration for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful that we need to become and get to a place where we're comfortable. Listen, we ought not feel comfortable with our Christianity. Just this last week, we had a revival meeting in our church, and 2 weeks ago Sunday, I led our church to pray from 12 midnight to almost 4 in the morning. And about 700 people came. We prayed for till 3:34 in the morning. Last Sunday, I invited the men to pray from 10 to 2 in the morning. And we had a wonderful group of about 60, 70 men. They're praying outside there at the building, begging for God to do something in our lives. Begging for God to revive our young people and revive our church. You see, we don't need to become comfortable. Yes, God is moving in our country, but we want to see more of God. And more of His moving and more of His power. We come to the place where we feel like we're okay now. No, we're not. We need to do more for the Lord. We need to do more for Him. We need to love Him more and serve Him more and surrender more to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't need to become comfortable with our Christianity, comfortable in our churches, comfortable with the way we live, comfortable. That is a symptom of lukewarmness. Not only is comfort a symptom of lukewarmness, but also, look with me in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich. Second of all, is self-sufficiency. A person who's rich is self-sufficient. Now, Laodicea was a very rich city. I read that during the time of the Roman Empire, there was an earthquake that hit the city and it destroyed the entire city. The Roman Empire offered to give them a subsidy to help them rebuild their city. People in Laodicea told the Roman government, we don't need your help, and they rebuilt their own city. They were very affluent people. And it seems like the affluence materially affected their spiritual condition, affected their Christianity, and they come to the place where they felt that they were self-sufficient. Listen, knowledge and pump it up. And see, many times we become self-sufficient. We get up in the mornings and we don't take time to seek God in prayer and beg Him to protect us. We go soul winning and we forget that it's not our plan, but it's His power that sees people saved. And we become self-sufficient.
We get to the place where we confront the things of the world, and we go out and we forget that it's because of His power, that in His grace, that we'll stay right with God and protected from the wiles of the devil. See, we become self-sufficient with our churches and with our knowledge. Listen, my brother, the Bible says without Christ, we can do nothing. And when the church begins to depend on their money, depend on their knowledge, depend on their talents, and they forget that they need Him, we need His grace, and we need His power, and we need His protection, and we need His mercy, or else we are absolutely nothing. See, we become self-sufficient. And that's a symptom of lukewarmness. Not only is comfort and self-sufficiency, but look with me there in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Look at the phrase, and have need of nothing. Third of all, satisfaction is also a symptom of being lukewarm. Look with me, I want you to look with me in the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 17. We become satisfied. We easily become satisfied. The psalmist said there in Psalm 17 and verse 15, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. We ought not be satisfied with our prayer life. We ought not be satisfied with our knowledge of the Word of God. We ought not be satisfied with what we are doing for the Lord. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We ought not be satisfied with the people that I've won to Christ. We ought not be satisfied with the amount of money that we are giving to the work of the Lord. It's so easy to look at ourselves and say, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. We ought never become satisfied. There's more souls to win. There's more missionaries to send out. There's more churches to build. There's more people to reach with the gospel. There's more a power of God that we need. There's more love that we need. We don't need to become satisfied. And that satisfaction is a symptom of becoming a lukewarm Christian. Become satisfied. Continue with me, please, in Revelation chapter 3. We see the symptoms. I was just remembering reading about a newspaper article about a Christian couple. This Christian couple was never able to have any children. They both worked factory jobs. They decided one day in their life that they would never buy anything new. They decided they would always go to a second-hand store. Is that what they call them? And buy used clothes. They decided that they would never go out and buy a brand new car. They always bought used cars. They decided that they would never buy an expensive new home, and they bought a trailer and lived in a trailer area all their married life. They worked, they never went on vacation. They decided that they were going to work and they were going to save their money totally. The day came that both of them died. And of course, one died. Then after the second one died, they left the will, and it was left in the hands of the pastor. This couple in their life had saved over $1.2 million. Just a factory working a family. And they left the will that entire amount of money would go to the work of the Lord in their local church and around the world. Many people would look at somebody like that and say, you know what? They missed it. No, they didn't. They realized that the treasures, the true riches, are in heaven. They realize that the true happiness is not in the things of this world. And there's nothing wrong with a new car, and there's nothing wrong with a new house, and there's nothing wrong with God blessing you. But we need to become Christians that understand that there's a lot more to the Christian living than living for things that you can get and you can enjoy. There's an eternity, and we can invest our lives, we can invest what God has given us in the souls of mankind, which is eternal. So you don't become satisfied with what you've done for the Lord. This church has done a lot for the Lord. Don't become satisfied. But look with me here, please. Look at the danger now. Look at the danger. We see the symptoms. Now look at the danger becoming lukewarm. Look at the phrase there in the middle of verse 17. In the middle of the verse, look at the phrase, knowest not. Knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. See, that is the danger of becoming an apathetic, indifferent Christian. Becoming lukewarm. The Bible says, you know not. See, we feel pretty good about ourselves. We feel that we've accomplished some things. We feel pretty satisfied. We feel that we've done something for the Lord. And the Bible says here that when you become to the place where you're satisfied and when you're self-sufficient and you feel and you become to the place where you're comfortable, the Bible says you know not. And see, the Lord is saying, listen, I know your true condition. You think you're rich. You think you're increased with goods. You think you've done a lot and you place yourself on a pinnacle. But the Bible says, I know your true condition. What the Bible says that the Lord sees in us that are lukewarm. The Bible says, and knowest not that thou art wretched. That's a very strong word. When a person has become lukewarm, it's dangerous. You know why? First of all, because he loses favor with the Lord. He loses grace of God. Now, does that lose salvation? Salvation you don't lose. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, real quickly. In verse 15, the Bible says, verse 15, look diligently lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any man, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In other words, bitterness keeps God's grace from working in your life. And my brother, my sister, we need the grace of God. The grace of God is the desire and the power to do the will of God. It does not only mean a merited favor, but the grace of God is God working in me. See, God is the one who works in me. He puts the desire in my heart to read the Bible. He puts the desire in my heart to pray. He puts the desire in my heart to give. It's His power that keeps me from falling into sin. It's His power that keeps me right with Him. I need His grace every day of my life. And lukewarm Christians, they depend on themselves because they're satisfied and they're self-sufficient. And listen, they begin to get to the place in life where God stops working in your life. And you know why, my brother, my sister, I don't want God to ever stop working on my life. I want to stay on that potter's wheel. I want for God to keep working in my heart. I want for God to keep if He needs to break me, Lord, break me, Lord. But I want You to keep working in my life. I want to see God use me. I want to see God bless my family and my life count for His glory and for eternity. But I cannot in my own strength. I cannot in my own wisdom. I've got to have the grace of God. And so do you, my brother. And so does this church. See, when a lukewarm Christian becomes, it becomes dangerous because he becomes wretched. Grace is no longer working in your life. That's a pretty wretched position to be in. But the Bible also says miserable. Before I continue, look with me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, real quickly, please. The Bible talks, this is an example of a church, of a group of churches
that God gave us in His Word, who gave sacrificially to the work of the Lord. Look with me in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. These group of people, my brother, lived in poverty. They were persecuted for Christ's sake. But they were generous and they gave it themselves even beyond their power. They gave sacrificially to the work of God. Do you know why? It was God's grace working in them. And that's why Christians that become lukewarm no longer see the need to give more to the work of God, because God's grace no longer works in them. We need His grace in every area of our Christian life. Grace to give. Grace to withstand the attacks of Satan. We need His grace. Continue with me in the book of Revelation, please, in chapter 3. Lukewarmness is the greatest enemy of soul winning churches and world evangelization. There in verse 17, it says, "Thou art wretched." Then it says, "And miserable." Miserable. See, another danger of being lukewarm is you lose the joy in your life. Become wretched. There's so many Christians, Pastor Johnson, who are no longer joyful in their service for the Lord. It seems like it becomes a burden, like, oh man, I've got to give my tithe. Oh well, good night. I've got to give the missions and I've got to go to church. Listen, it ought to be a joy. It's a joy to see people saved. It's a joy to be involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other day, a couple weeks ago, a man in our church came to me and said, "Pastor," he said, he had told me, he shared with me, his daddy was the enemy of the gospel. His daddy basically ostracized him for becoming a Christian. He came to me, he said, "But Lewis," he said, "my daddy's in intensive care. He's dying. He's 84 years old. And he's unconscious and he's dying. Pastor, please pray with me." So that was on a Sunday. We prayed with him and prayed for his father. Those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he came back to church. He said, "Brother Lewis, my father came out of his unconscious state. He's still in intensive care. Would you please go talk to him?" So that Thursday, I went to see his father. When I walked into the intensive care, he was by himself. There was no family members there, because many times they'll keep you from seeing, especially if they're very staunch Catholic. Nobody was there but him. Walked into the intensive care ward, and I was able to talk to him, begin to read the Bible to him. He was looking at me. I asked him if he would allow me to read the Bible. He said, "Sure." I think he thought I was a priest. Basically, he saw my back right here. He thought I was a priest. But he listened to me. I began to give him the gospel And it was a joy to see that man trust Christ as his Savior. And then a week and a half later, Martin came to prayer meeting Saturday morning and said, "Lewis, my daddy went to heaven 2 days ago, but he's in heaven." You know, isn't that a joy? What a blessing to be able to see somebody in their deathbed who for 84 years was an enemy of the gospel, but God had mercy on him. Hallelujah. See, what a joy to see people say, what a joy as you invest in the life of others. As what a joy for you at this church one day when you go to heaven, you'll see all the souls that were saved because of this church, because of your prayers for missionaries, because of your offerings and what you've done for the Lord. It would have been worth it all. As there's joy in serving Jesus. There's joy in living the Christian life. There's joy in prayer. See, when you get to the place where joy, prayer is not a joy anymore, you need to say, "Lord, what is wrong with me?" Because joy is them, and there is joy in praying. Amen. There's joy in reading this book. See, lukewarm Christians become miserable. Quickly, please. The Bible says also, thou art poor. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You've lost the true riches. See, they said, "We're rich.
We're increased with goods. We have everything we need. And the Lord says, Lord, you're really poor. Because see, the true riches are not the things you can see, not the things you can enjoy in this life. The true riches are eternal. It's treasures in heaven. It's souls in heaven. It's investing in the work of God. It's loving others. It's giving yourself to others. It's teaching others. It's giving of yourself to do the will of God. There's blessings eternal.
The many Christians that have become poor. Yes, they have a nice car, they have a beautiful home, have a nice job. But before God, they're poor. Their lives are not counting for eternal value. See, lukewarm Christians become poor in the sight of God. Let's continue, please. The Bible says, and blind. Lukewarm Christians not only lose grace with God, they lose their joy, they lose the true riches, but they also lose spiritual discernment. Become blind. Look with me, please, in the book of 2 Peter. It's not talking about blindness as far as in darkness or not being saved. It's talking about spiritual discernment. There in 2 Peter in chapter 1, the Bible says there, in verse 5, it says it talks about adding to your faith virtue and virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and temperance, patience, and the patience of godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And it says in verse 8, if these things be in you, you'll be fruitful. But look what it says in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, in other words, you stop adding to your faith. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And then forgot that he was purged from his old sins. See, lukewarm Christians stop growing in their faith. They become satisfied. Become self-sufficient. Become comfortable Christians. Where they feel okay because they go to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night and they put their little offering in and they feel comfortable about themselves. The Bible says you've become blind. You've lost spiritual discernment. Lukewarmness is the door to apostasy. There's so many Christians today that have lost their spiritual discernment. And what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? And become ecumenical Christians and they become Christians that are worldly and Christians that are carnal. And they have no spiritual discernment. That's why they don't win souls. That's why they don't invest in the work of God. They have no spiritual discernment. It's dangerous to become lukewarm. So dangerous. But look with me, please, in Revelation 3. The Bible says not only have you lost grace and you've lost your joy and you've lost the true riches and you've lost your spiritual discernment, but the Bible says, and naked. You've also, a lukewarm Christian, loses right living. Look what it says in Revelation 19:8, please. 19:8. It says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed, this is talking about the church, in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. See, we have been clothed with righteousness. And praise the Lord, we have received imputed righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. But as I live the Christian life, the Bible says He wants a church that's pure. He wants a church without blemish. And many Christians, my brother, before the Lord, they're naked because not that they've lost salvation, but they've stopped living right.
So you become naked. Look what it says there in Revelation 3 and in verse 18. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. It talks about their white raiment, talking about righteousness, talking about holiness, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And many Christians today, they've lost their shame. They no longer live for the Lord. They no longer serve the Lord. They look like the world. They live like the world. And they feel fine about themselves. They've lost their shame.
They're naked. They've lost right living. And it's because of lukewarmness. Tonight, I just wanted to remind this church, don't become satisfied. Every year that our missions conference comes along, my wife and I pray. And every year the Lord leads us to do a little more. I don't want to become satisfied. I want to lead our church not to become satisfied with what we've done. The Lord's allowed us to start churches and to support missionaries. But you know what? There's so much to do. The fields are still white on their harvest. There's still over 6 billion people on this earth, and more than half have never heard the gospel one time. There's still over 6,300 different languages and dialects in this world. And more than half don't even have a portion of the Word of God. Only 480 of them have the whole Word of God. Only 480. Others have a portion of John or Romans or Matthew. See, don't become satisfied. There's so much more to do. I met a man at a missions conference a couple weeks ago there in Ohio. And his name just slipped my mind. I just got to shake his hand and I heard his testimony. He has given 25 years of his life, Brother Johnson, to a tribe there in New Guinea. And that tribe only has 500 people. That's all. And in that tribe, they speak a dialect that only that tribe, only that group of people speak that dialect. That's all. And he's given 25 years of his life for that tribe. Learned that dialect. Now he is working on translating the Word of God. Humanly speaking, you say, why, for 500 people? Oh, you know what? God so loved the world, he loved them too. And he's given of his life for 500 people. And he's given 500 people the Word of God because he sees the value in one eternal soul. Let's not become satisfied with our Christianity, with what we're doing for the Lord. Let's not become self-sufficient that you can. No, you cannot. You need His grace. It is His power. Let's not become comfortable. But lastly, and it'll take me a half hour, and I'm just teasing. How can we come out of a lukewarm condition? Look with me in verse 18. This is the Lord speaking to His church. He says, you lukewarm and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You nauseate me. Listen, just think about that for a moment, my brother. It nauseates the Lord when we become lukewarm. Then he says, you don't know what I really see in you. But then he says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. 1 Peter. The Bible talks there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Just listen, please. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The book of James, it talks about those Christians that are poor in this world but rich in faith. You know what? We need to be able to come out of our lukewarm condition. we need to revive our faith. Our faith. There in verse 19 it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. He says, be zealous. You need to repent of your lukewarmness. You need to be zealous. You need revival. That's what you need. You need a revival of your faith. Increase your faith. See, my brother and my sister, the Christian life is lived by faith. We win souls by faith. This brother's going to Portugal by faith. And it's by faith that we invest in the work of God. And as Christians, we need to invest in the eternal. And it's by faith. Because see, it says there, buy of me gold, trinified that thou mayest be rich. It's not talking about earthly gold. It's talking about eternal treasures in heaven. It's talking about investing in the work of God. It's talking about increasing your faith and believing, yes, there is a heaven. And yes, there will be a day that I will give you rewards in heaven. And yes, it'll be worth it all. Just trust me. Increase your faith. Invest in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek after me first and my work and my glory, and you'll be truly rich. That's what it's saying right there. And it says also there in verse 18, and why raiment that thou mayest be clothed. We need a revival in right living. In holy living. See, the Bible says that we are the light of the world. And when Christians lose their testimony, when they become tainted by the things of the world, they lose the power of God. They lose their zeal for the things of God. They lose their love for the souls of men. They become spiritually blinded as far as they lose their spiritual discernment, and they begin to live life under the sun and invest in this world and the things of this world. And my brother, my sister, we need a revival in right living and holy living and spirit-filled living, that our lives can be totally consecrated to God, that God may use us and lead us to do great and mighty things for Him. Revival and right living. Then it says there in verse 18, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We need a revival in spiritual sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We need a revival to see. You know what I would love for the Lord to do in my life? I would love for the Lord to allow me to see souls like He sees them. I would like for the Lord to allow me to see what He sees in this world. We need a revival in our eyesight. The Bible says, behold, the fields are white on the harvest. The Bible says there in Matthew 9, look with me please, real quickly, in Matthew 9, and in verse 35, the Bible says Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said He unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord, harvest, that He may send forth laborers into His harvest. See, we need a revival in our spiritual sight. Several months ago, Karen and I and my daughter Sarah went to Mexico City to preach for one of our graduates that just started a church about 6 months ago there in Mexico City. Mexico City has, in the whole area, about 30 million people. It's unbelievable. And Fernando took my wife and I to visit what they call La Basilica de Guadalupe. That's a church that's dedicated to the Virgin Guadalupe, the Virgin of Mexico. They believe that in the 1500s, this Virgin who has the appearance of an Indian appeared to Juan Diego. And and so they've made a saint of him just recently, Juan Diego. They canonized him as a saint. But with the loop is the matron, she is the virgin of Mexican people. And there's a big church, seats over 3,000 people, Brother John said. Just huge church, dedicated, huge, corridor, or not a corridor, but not auditorium. The yard, not the yard, but whatever, I'm forgetting my English, I'm sorry. Courtyard, huge courtyard. Last year, the 12th of December is the day that they celebrate the Day of Guadalupe. 10 million people visited that church in one day. Just hundreds of thousands of people walking down those streets. It's unbelievable. We went to visit it. I don't like to go into Catholic churches. I didn't go in. It's a place of idols, and I don't like to go into Catholic churches. But we saw they were having a mass, and we walked behind the church where they have a statue of the Virgin of Guadalupe about this high in a little cubby in the wall. And as I beheld it, my wife and I and daughter, we saw the people that have traveled hundreds of miles, many of them by foot, by the way, because they make promises to the Virgin. We saw some Indian people before that Virgin, Brother Johnson, weeping, crying out. And my heart just broke. See, those we need to understand that the God of this world has deceived those people. But I just praise the Lord that there is a God in heaven who shines in their heart the light of the gospel. Amen. And opens their eyes and opens their minds that they may know the true and living God. That they may know Him that really does answer prayer. That they may know the power of God and the grace of God and the peace of God and the victory of God. There's people that are praying for an alcoholic father or for an alcoholic husband, and they're there asking the Virgin to help them with their burdens, but that there is no help and there's no power because it's a God of this world. It's an idol. They need the Lord. And that's why I thank the Lord so much for what He's doing in our country. It's such a blessing. There's two ladies in our church, Brother Johnson, who for many years, 20, 25 years of their lives, no, one of them, 40 years of her life, would every year go to one of these places and she would worship these idols. These ladies also were dressers of the idols in their church. These ladies were the ladies who would go to the funeral homes, and they would, during funerals, there's ladies who are doing the rosary all night long, but you know, praise the Lord, we have three ladies in our church right now who were saved out of that kind of darkness. Isn't that a blessing that the Lord does? They're the sweetest Christians on earth. They love the Lord, and one of them always asks us to sing the hymn based on John 3:16, because she loves to sing about the love of God. What a blessing to see people saved. We need a revival in spiritual sight. And lastly, there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." We need a revival in our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that is the problem. That is the root of the problem for lukewarmness. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when we walk with Christ, we love Him. We begin to see the world like He sees the world. We will begin to have a heart like He has a heart. We will begin to understand that there's no greater love than to give your life for others. There's no greater love, I'm sorry, to give your life for others. We'll begin to understand that the purpose that we're walking in this earth is the same purpose He's had to seek and to save that which was lost. We begin to walk with Christ. We will love the souls of mankind. It will be, honestly, missionaries, they're the most blessed. They're following the example of Jesus Christ. They're living, they're leaving their home to give life to people not of their own. They're blessed people. Our relationship with Christ, it will give us a burden. It will give us a fire and a zeal for the things of God, for holiness, for prayer, for His church, for His Word. We need a revival in our relationship with Jesus. That's where we become lukewarm. So we lose our zeal and lose our fire and lose our desire. The world begins to taint us, and the world begins to infect us, and the world begins to quench the fire in our hearts. We need a revival in our relationship with Jesus Christ. He stands at the door and knock. This is an invitation to His church. This is a great church. I love this church. Tonight I wanted to admonish you. Do not become a lukewarm church. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You so much, Lord, for allowing me to open this precious book and share these truths with these precious people. Lord, You know their works, and You know their heart, and You know their desire. Lord, don't let them become lukewarm. Don't let them become indifferent, apathetic. May they see the world like You see the world. May they invest in that which is eternal, in the souls of mankind. Lord Jesus, bless now. Bless the invitation to follow.